This evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, May 29, 2012, and it's about 6:31 in the evening. Would you please take a moment to review the first order on the agenda this evening, first business on the agenda this evening, which is the review and approval of minutes from the May 14th meeting. Steve?
Oh, yeah, they're good.
He's good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't pick that up. All right, then. This second order of business then this evening will be the 2014 medical dental renewal matrix, and Lori Campbell has been good enough to put that together for us, so we'll let Lori have a commence time and explain that.
Mm-hmm. We talked last time just asking for directions from Finance Committee in terms of whether or not you'd like us to head down the path of going out to market with an RFP for insurance for next year, or whether you would intend to have us stay with you for another 3-year commitment. And I think when we spoke last time, we had shared that, you know, we're very satisfied with EBC. We like the idea of being in with a large pool. We felt that, especially even this year with a close to 90% loss ratio, we got a great renewal rate because of the, you know, the large number of groups that happen to be in that cooperative. And then the request came for some information, and what we did is we went back through 2007 when we first went fully insured, because we felt that was probably a good break point, and then showed you how the PPO loss ratio had been for District 41, our D41% increase or decrease, and then EBC's base increase or decrease. So one thing I didn't do was take like what a 77% loss ratio would have been if we were in EBC. I just pulled the base increase from them. And then put trends, as you had asked, on the right-hand column, and then just some notes about what happened on each of those years, including some of the increases and decreases related to, you know, the health care reform bill, which is, you know, October, that PPACA, Patient Protection or Portable Protection, Portable Care Act,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Healthcare reform, and then when EBC has done any reductions to the rates due to release of working cash money. So,
very nicely done. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
I just have a very minor question.
Sure.
In 08,
mm-hmm.
what is the D41 plan percent increase or decrease?
Right.
There's a 6% decrease.
Reduction, mm-hmm. right.
Was that, I couldn't track that back to the notes. Which note was that, did that refer to?
It didn't refer to any of the notes here, Drew. Basically, what happened is we had a good year that year, and our insurance consultant was able to negotiate that rate down. They worked pretty aggressively on our behalf to get it down to a 6% reduction. That wasn't the first rate that they came back to us with, but benefit decisions at that time did some work to get it down.
Lori, didn't we also go out to market that year? And that was one of the factors that they used with Blue Cross Blue Shield to help?
We may have. I don't remember if that was a year that we did that or not, because we had just been in for a year of that.
Like I say, this is a nice chart. Was there a lot of work putting that together?
It wasn't too bad. I had to get some information from Gallagher in terms of their the base increases and decreases to EBC and their trend data, but it was doable. Thank you for asking.
Oh, no, this is very helpful.
And then just in the notes down below, just some other things that are not costs that you see in here, but that are benefits in terms of the cooperative. You know, one was when we moved to the cooperative, we no longer had to pay an independent insurance consultant, mm-hmm. because those fees are built into the EBC rate. If we, you know, want to do anything outside of what EBC covers, like if we wanted to do some work with our HRA or some of the other, like, long-term disability for administrators, we'd need to bring in a consultant, but not one at the rate that we're talking about here, just on a short-term for project basis.
My only question was, mm-hmm. the market trend in, but where did that come from?
That came from Gallagher.
Do you use Gallagher anymore?
Yeah, that's who we use.
That's who we use with EBC. We were with Benefit Decisions before when we were.
Okay. All right, thanks.
What would be your recommendation to us? Because I feel very comfortable that I can make a decision. What would your recommendation be?
Well, I haven't talked with Bob and Phyllis, but I'm thinking they support me on this, and that would be to consider or to continue with EDP for at least 3 more years. We're new to the cooperative. Let's give it some more time. Let's watch to see what happens. A lot is coming in with health care reform, and I think continuing to be in the large pool will be very helpful to us.
And their working cash is very large. They have a very large pool, and so they are, you know, they've been generous with that pool in terms of giving a rebate, you know, in order to lower the rate. And so I think that's also a plus. They're a very healthy organization. And anecdotally, I don't know of any district, from a superintendent's perspective, any district in our Glenbard group that who is with EDC that isn't absolutely happy and has been with them for a very long time.
Are the just the administrative note, the when a teacher retires, will they still on this point?
No. They go over to TRIP, which is the teacher's retirement insurance plan. They switch over July 1st.
Okay.
Is there anything else that going forward that you're aware of that as the finance committee we should be looking for coming down the road? Any surprises we need to look out for?
Well, insurance is always kind of a loose cannon, I guess you could say, because it depends on how the performance has gone. We hope that, again, staying in the cooperative will level things off for us, and we've seen that occur. You know, we're going to continue to monitor, and if we see things starting to look abnormal or as if there'd be something that you'd need to know, we'd come to you probably sooner, because our group meets on a quarterly basis. Mm-hmm. We also have a wellness group that meets at least once, which is not today, once a month to keep an eye on kind of the health of the district from the data that we have from the wellness assessment. So those are the two places that I could think of.
And you feel very comfortable. You have a good relationship with your contact at the EDC?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Are you looking us to endorse a recommendation?
Well, we were just looking to make sure that we were headed in the right direction with continuing with EBC, because if we weren't going to continue with EBC, we'd need to start now in terms of selecting a consultant to assist us with the RFP to go out to market, because we have to give the EBC quite a bit of notice.
Six months
if we're going to pull out. And if we're going to pull out, we want to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row before that.
Seems like it makes sense to stay in.
If you're looking for something from finance, if you're looking for us to endorse a recommendation, I'm more than willing to do that.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So what would be coming forward is, you know, probably sometime in January or February next year would be a recommendation to renew our agreement with EBC.
Okay.
And what we can do, Steve, are you supportive as well?
Yes.
Thanks, Steve.
What we can do is I can just put in a Thursday letter, too, that we had this discussion at finance. It'll be in the minutes. And that based on finance committee support, we don't need board approval for this. So based on your support, we're going to continue with EBC, and we'll bring a contractual renewal next.
I would just request when you put this in the third
share
letter to improve and include that chart.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very telling. It pretty much lays it all down really well.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
So the next order of business then this evening will be the third quarter financial results. As you know, over the past couple of years, we've developed this plan for the finance office. When we come to you on a quarterly basis?
Volume. Just so
you can hear. Okay. Where we come to you on a quarterly basis and give you a review of where we currently stand financially. So this sheet really hasn't changed much since we began presenting in a couple of years. Column A here is the revenue budget and expenditure budget for the year. Column B is 2011 third quarter totals that we matched off year-to-year comparisons, as well as an average over the 4 years, and then that average compared to the current performance. Column C is the 2012 year to 2012 year-to-date totals, dollar difference. That's column D. That's what I'd like to talk to you about a little this evening. What we're showing here is to date we've received just over $28,000 less in property taxes than we did in the last fiscal year. Some noticeable differences are in the personal property tax line, a decrease of approximately $135,000, tuition payments of approximately $86,000, transportation fees, we've actually received about $10,000 more. Interest earnings, you know, when I reviewed the financial dashboard with you a couple of weeks ago, we talked about interest earnings and how they've decreased dramatically over the past three or four years, where we were typically getting about $1.2 million a year in interest earnings. We're down to year to date. Again, this is as of March 31st, $142,000. So we've actually received $72,000 less than we did last year. Food services, yes?
I'm sorry. Could you explain to me why that is?
Why the transportation fees are a little bit more?
No, why there's so much less in terms of property taxes.
Well, there's only $28,000 less in actual property taxes, residential property taxes. This is the personal property taxes. This is CPPRT, personal property replacement taxes. And we've received $135,000 less year to date. We expect to get a payment in June. We're hoping we get a payment in June, so that would bring us more in a line in terms of what we budgeted.
Okay.
Any other questions on what I've gone over so far? All right. Student fees. Student fees, again, this presentation is of March 31st, about $13,000 left. Donations and other type of expenditures, it's about $73,000 more. Unrestricted state funds, which is general state aid, we've actually received about $47,000 more than we had in the third quarter for 2011. And we just want to caution you that we're hearing that general state aid is going to be prorated, that we're not going to get our final payment, which is about $65,000. I think it's about $125,000 a month is what we receive in general state aid. So we're hearing we will not get that final payment during the month of June. We typically get 22 a year. We're hearing we'll get 21. The restricted state funds. I've given you a write-up every month talking about categorical funding, the restricted state funds. And I know that it was a surprise when we came to the board last year when we had the annual financial report in October, November, when that was presented. There's a lot of accruing entries that are going in and out of this account. This is strictly a cash presentation. But if you looked at the treasurer's report every month, I try to give you a quick synopsis in terms of what we think will be accrued to last fiscal year, what would be included in this fiscal year. And remember, that's even becoming a bit more jumbled as we move through the current fiscal year, 2012. Phyllis and I were just on earlier this, about 20 minutes ago, I guess, or half an hour ago, looking in terms of, there's a system out there that we can go in and look at it. What we can expect, and there's vouchered, and then there's actually paid claims. We have been vouchered through the third period of this year, but yet we've only received payments through the second quarter. So it's really a difficult process for us to determine exactly where state revenue is going to come in at, especially categorical funding. So just to sort of summarize, what we've received so far is payments through the second quarter, which is actually December 31st, 2011, we've received those. Third quarter payments have been vouchered but not received. And don't forget that this third quarter ended March 31st or April, May, 2 months ago. So that's a significant reduction. But again, that's on a cash basis, and we don't know when we might get those funds. Federal funds, this is a significant decrease of $590,000. That's really a case of the final federal funding coming through for ERA dollars, and that money was due to go away this year anyways. I have tried to take out in our treasury report presentation and this presentation also the fund transfers, because we did a significant fund transfer of $2.7 million back in December or January as a result of the abatement. So to provide, be able to provide some consistency and show you some consistency amongst our numbers, I've just gone with actually what we transfer regarding lease payments every year.
Which category is the state transportation aid?
State transportation is in restricted state funds. Now remember, we receive very little in regular student transportation. We receive a significant amount, $300,000+ in special ed reimbursement for transportation. And again, we're still on the second. We haven't received anything in the third quarter. That one?
No. No, the third. We have not received any in the third quarter vouchers.
So overall, as provided in your written summary, we're about $816,000 less than where we were last year during at the conclusion of the third quarter. And so column E, that shows you the difference between the percentage difference between what was received year to date in 2011 and 2012, about 3.29% less. And then if you take year, this is a four-year average. I have these treasurer's reports on a monthly basis. We have kept track of that for 4 years now. So this column here is 4 years of data, I believe since 2008 through 2011. And then that's a comparison in terms of where we stand presently with the year-to-date performance. So that's the revenue side of the question or the presentation. Any questions on that? Then I'll move on to the salary, expenditure side of the equation. Again, we have expended about $632,000 more in salaries. That's kind of average, about 3.9% overall. We typically budget about 4% annual increases in salaries. So 3.9 seems to be a good percentage for us. Benefits have increased about $221,000 or 6.64%. Purchase services is almost $182,000 more. This is an area of concern. Again, we overspent our purchase service line last year because of some last-minute, as I recall, some last-minute special education transportation bills came in, and they were pretty significant. So that's a line item we'll want to keep track of. Supplies and materials is over by about $132,000. Capital outlay, we did not have as many capital projects last year as we did the previous year, so that's kind of natural that you're going to see a $380,000 decrease in capital expenditures. Dues and fees, it's only $62,000 of our budget. It is $7,400 more than what we spent for a year ago during the third quarter. But given the overall contribution to the budget, it's not that significant. Principal and interest payments, we know what our principal and interest payments are every year. There's some cost additions that we receive through the levy, but nothing that significant. Tuition payments, this is another sort of a wild card item. I would not expect this tuition to be $315,000 less than last year. I would expect us to be getting probably some large bills in for special education. We typically get those in May and June, don't we, Phyllis?
What happened this year is the case member districts, we delayed billing each other because we wanted to, we met as a group and we reviewed the formula we were all using to get to a common formula. It was truly common, but we wanted to just do that check-in. So those kind of bills were delayed. So a lot of what you're seeing here, especially on the expenditure side, is a timing issue. When the bills come in, when they get paid. Some years they come in earlier, we pay them earlier in the year, other times they come in later. And in the case of special ed tuition, that's a piece of it. Our private facilities basically bill us on a monthly basis, but we do have quite a few cross enrollments into the other case districts, and so those bills just came through. So that also explains part of the tuition at the top. You know, again, it could be a lot of it all the time. So that's something, this picture window in time of when that event happened. So
overall, we've seen expenditures go up, again, as of the third quarter, by about $680,000. Overall, about 2.3%. Any questions? Then, hearing none, we'll move on to the next order of business then this evening. And that is the annual review of investment policies.
I do have a quick question.
Yes, true.
You know, I just look at this, and I look at our total revenues, and I look at our total expenses, and I see $4.6 million deficit. And that theoretically would concern me. But then I look at... I just added it up.
You added what?
I added the 25.6. I subtracted the.
I'm just trying to do sources
and sorts of uses and expenditures.
Remember, this is on a cash basis, and we get a large chunk of money in May and June for real estate tax.
Right.
That's our spring installment.
Well, I'm looking at 11, and we have roughly the same disparity there.
Right. We came in about a $3.1 million surplus last year.
So I guess I ask this question every year, but it's alarming, but. I guess it's a timing thing that rides itself by the end of the year.
Well, we would certainly hope that it's dependent. A lot of it is dependent upon state revenue. Obviously, we have our largest source of revenue coming in. We should get in excess of $20 million between May, June, July.
Is that when do you get the property tax payment we have on June 1st? How long?
We'll get that probably maybe two or three distributions during the month of June, and those are automatically wired into our accounts from the assessor's office. We don't actually, nobody writes a check. We just see it come into our account.
Houston.
In the old days, right.
June 1st and June 15th is when those come in. June 15th is the large one. June 1st is the early paying escrow accounts, and the people who actually just pay their tax bill and get out their debt. June 15th is when we get the large chunk. And then September 1 and September 15th.
Okay. That'll be your largest installments. So, any other questions on this presentation then?
Are you good?
Okay.
Oh, no, that's okay. Because it certainly looks like we're spending way more than we're taking in at this point, but we're tracking along our budget.
Right.
So.
Right. Especially when you look at the revenue, we are within 0.57% of where we were last year with our amount received overall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why we put those comparison numbers in there. So you can kind of track.
Well, it looks like, again, it's an annual disparity.
Yeah.
You compare that to 11
right.
and 12.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's basically, it's almost the same.
And it smooths itself out by the end of the year.
You know, we've had this conversation over the past, I would say, almost several years now in terms of, well, where are we actually performing performing now versus our historical average? And this is 4 years of averages. And it's interesting to me that shows that you're 0.57 away from your budget in terms of the historical presentation. Now, one thing that I did find a little disturbing is that the expenditure line was what I would call significantly different when we're talking about 5% or 4.5%. But when you're tracking revenues, it amazes me just how close we are, how close we're performing.
Well, and the difference, though, between that 2.3% is the difference between last year and this year. Mm-hmm. So we're not significantly different from where we were last year at this time.
No.
You know, the other thing is, I appreciate your concern, Drew, because when we talk and give consideration to over and over again the volatility of state funding, that's part of what we're trying to be conservative about at the beginning of the year and try to plan accordingly so that we don't get caught at the end of the year in a deficit situation.
And, it's interesting, challenging at times, that just Phyllis and I were talking late this afternoon in terms of where are we sitting with state funding. And it's always a crapshoot in terms of where you're at and where you're going to end up. As I said, we've got second quarter revenues as of December 31st, and here we are at the 1st of June. So there's 5 months. I mean, if you wanted to count money between January and the end of March, there's a five-month layover there. So it's always an area of concern. We don't want to be over. We don't want to be too conservative, yet we don't want to be not conservative enough either.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other questions then? Then we will move on to the next order of business, and that is the annual review of investment policies. That is 4.3 in your packet here, and I'd like to draw your attention to page 4 of 8. Halfway down that column, it says an annual review of the financial condition and registration of all qualified financial institutions and brokers slash dealers will be conducted by the investment officer. So that's what we did this year. Drew brought it to my attention that we needed to get that taken care of, and Drew, I appreciate that. If you look at your monthly treasurer's report, the majority of our investments are held by PMA and IPTIP. PMA holds it in the ISLAP fund, which is the Illinois School District Liquid Asset Fund, and another area that we hold money, the treasurer's office holds funds for us, is called IPTIP, which is the Illinois Public Treasurer's Investment Pool. And that's where we hold the majority of our investments. We also have a small investment with the Wheaton Bank and Trust, as well as U.S. Bank. So what did I do? I either contacted the firms individually, which would be PMA, a U.S. Bank, or an example would be the Office of the Treasurer, where we can download the financial results, the audit, as performed by their independent auditors. So I either contact the firm, send me the information, meaning their audit report, or I went to, let's say, the Illinois Treasurer's office, and they have their audit report posted. And the general consensus, general statement is the financial statements have been audited, prepared and audited, and are presented fairly, the financial condition of the respective entities. That's sort of a general statement that they use. So I would say that all of our investment holders are in good financial shape and that we have fulfilled this requirement for the present fiscal year. Any questions on that?
Bob, in accounting lingo, would you say that that means that we have clean audits from all these clean audit reports from?
I would say we have absolutely, I don't want to say absolute foolproof, but I would say that the auditors feel as though that the financial performance has been presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles.
Okay. So we've got audited statements that say that there are no exceptions.
There's nothing unusual going on with the books that's been detected from the independent auditors.
That's good. That's good.
So that satisfies that.
That annual review, and it's on our calendar of things that we'll take care of every spring, early summer.
Actually, I was reading this, and I think on the last page,
on page 8 of 8.
On 8 of 8, 2, policy shall be reviewed on an annual basis in the fall of each year. So I guess we did it a little bit early.
I think it refers to this policy in total, right? That this particular
I would say
policy.
That's what it says that the Finance and Facility Committee will review that policy. What I'm referring to here is at your direction, I'm requested to go out annually and review the financial condition of all the respective companies that hold our investments.
Right.
Okay.
So, but you're right. It could be.
It could be
misinterpreted.
I'm good with this. I just wanted that in the minutes. I don't know that it needs to go to the full board, but it can certainly.
Well, it's actually based on 11 here.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it needs to. shall be formally approved and adopted by the District 41 Board of Education following review and recommendation by the Finance and Facilities.
Okay.
That this policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just the policy.
The policy or not the or the financial?
No, just the policy. Oh,
right. The policy. Well,
then, when you bring this up in the fall to review, then it'll come back to the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But
put it on your list of to-dos.
Yeah. But the review of the financial condition of our financial vendors, I don't think that needs to go to the full board. I mean, that's just a report through finance. It'll go through the minutes, and we are compliant for until next year.
And I feel confident that the
okay. So I appreciate that. Was it difficult to find all that?
Just first time connection, kind of establishing the relationship in terms of, hey, where do we need to go for this information, or where can I access this information?
So next year would be much easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Real short process. It should be a short process.
Dan?
Dan's good. Okay.
Steve?
The next...
Steve?
Can he hear you?
Steve, are you with us?
We lose Steve?
Uh-oh. Phone can go dial tone. Oops.
We must have lost him.
You can call yourself.
Aloha to Aloft Lexington. To reach a hotel guest or talent member, please press 0. For reservations, please press 1.
You are being transferred.
He's not being licensed to me.
Welcome. Thank you for calling Aloft Lexington. Kathleen, how can I help you?
Room 241, please.
And last name on the reservation?
Von Drack.
Okay, 1 second.
Swim laps or lounge in style in our pool. Open morning to night. Anytime is right for a dip.
It's called Arlington. Arlington.
Arlington.
Arlington.
Arlington.
Hello. Hi, Steve. When did we lose you?
Oh, I don't know. I hit the speaker instead of mute.
Okay, well, we just finished reviewing the investment policy. Did you hear any of that?
No, not really. Was there much discussion about it?
Just that Bob had all of our investment firms that we work with, there was an independent audit done, and so they affirmed that all of our investment groups are above board and the audits were clean, and so we should feel confident, and that in the fall there'll be a formal review and recommendation to renew the policy to the board.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. The next order of business then this evening is the 2012-2013 preliminary budget. I indicated to the Finance Committee at previous meetings that we would continue to put this on the agenda as we move forward with a posting of the tentative agenda in late June. I didn't prepare anything for this evening. We're still working through the preliminary to the tentative budget. We'll be doing more work in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be presenting that at the second meeting to the board in June. So. Really, I'm just open up if there are any questions or comments regarding that. I'd be happy to try to answer, or we can make comments or questions, and I'll get back to you regarding the budget.
Bob, I had sent some questions forward, and I think you were going to kind of put all those together with other folks, other board members' questions, and those. So maybe you've already looked at some of those. Or
I've looked at America. To be honest with you, to recall them right now, no, yeah. I couldn't, but...
Drew, you're so organized. Thank you.
Good try.
The one that I'm most curious about is this one. I had asked if there's a potential for a year-on-year impact. You know, you talked about the property tax decline. of was 1.8 million due to the abatement. So does that have any year-on-year ramification, like our conversation around the levy, that type of thing?
Okay. The reason we abated through the bond and interest fund is so we wouldn't have that year-on,
okay,
year-on effect. Now, we declined to levy in the bond and interest fund at the tune of $2.7 plus million.
Right.
Those dollars are lost to the district forever. But the year-on-year effect has not, because we did a specific abatement.
Okay.
And the reduction in EAV would not have a direct effect?
No, not in our bond and interest.
That was part of your question. That was part of it, yeah, because I'm trying to think about if we're tracking and wanting to make sure that there's not impacts that are cumulative, right?
If there was a way to make an abatement or a return of tax dollars to the property tax owners in the district, this was the way to accomplish that without a long-term lasting effect.
Okay. All right. And then I know you're going to talk about this, but one of my other ones questions, you know, was with regard to the reserve, and that's not an issue for us right now because we're not at our 25%, but the other part of that is, you know, should we be looking at reserves now moving forward in terms of our budget and
what's
our philosophy about that?
I think reserves are a topic of conversation at almost any time.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning about now, we're already going to be talking and looking at next year's summer projects and additional technology rollouts, and I don't know specifically what Mike has in mind, but I know that we've identified some long-term work that's going to be needed in the district, and that might be an applicable use of reserves. And that's a topic that I know, like, our roofs are going through analysis now or within the next 4 weeks, so probably by late summer is when we'll start bringing that preliminary projects list to start to narrow that down, and we'll start bringing some recommendations as we did with the Hadley parking lot.
Right.
We started that conversation in July, August, September.
In part because I know that we've talked about this a little bit as a board, but to be kind of framing that conversation, this budget conversation, around priorities for the board moving forward, and certainly the larger capital expenditures are a part of that conversation. So,
well, roofs are a. You've seen the long-term capital projects listing. Roofs are a significant dollar value, and I don't recall the dollars offhand, but we're looking at several million dollars of investments over the next 3 or 4 years. It's been a number of years since our roofs have been touched, and this is the first time when my director of buildings and grounds has come to me and says, you know, we need to start looking at this, because he's identified specific areas at Lincoln, Franklin, and Hadley that are beginning to have some roofing issues.
And I think, you know, Bob and I have on our short-term horizon building the both the short and the long-term master facilities plan. And in that short-term plan, you know, what will be our recommendation for the best way to handle some of those larger capital projects, and whether they're rolled into something larger or whether we try to chip away at them with the resources that we have, or whether we in fact decide to build a fund balance for those particular projects so that we budget according to that. That's a planned, you know,
expense, right?
That would be a future planned expense,
yeah,
which would be a deficit. You know, that's a planning for a deficit expenditure that year, but in a very, very planned way. So that's part of the work that we'll do this summer, so we can bring that back to you in the fall.
Bob, in terms of the, I'm trying to remember, it wasn't a policy, it was the 25%.
We actually made that policy.
It is a policy, okay.
Yeah.
That every
4.20, thank you.
That annually we would review, and it's sort of a key conversation we need once we get the audited financial reports, and that typically occurs between October 15th and November 15th.
Okay.
So there's a lot of work to be done in the fall there when we're trying to get things resolved with our auditors and get you the audited financial statements so that we can make solid, timely decisions.
And I think that was part of Dan. I'm not sure. I can't remember, Dan, when you raised this, if it was in a finance meeting or in the budget discussion. The difficulty, that balancing act of what we anticipate X reserves for the following year, where does it fall in that 25%, and what should we do? And so having that conversation preceding knowing what we'll actually have, and I think that was one of the questions that you asked, Dan, can we get a kind of a ballpark what we anticipate to be our end game mm-hmm. in June, and I don't think we've been able to do that kind of thinking, which is really more reflecting and projection than actual, but an important conversation for us to have because the implications can be, manyfold, mm-hmm. depending on how you look at those.
I understand that there's a lot of roughness out there, but you can make assumptions and mm-hmm. then see what those assumptions tell you. I really think we should take a shot at it.
Yeah.
Just to say, here's what we think of. If we assume 50%, 70%, whatever state aid, it's all about assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did that, and actually that was in the description of the abatement and the e-news, too. So, Julie, thanks for putting that in there. But that we ended up where we ended up because, sorry, I remember this conversation from 2 years ago pretty concretely, and it was front and lend meetings. If other districts are doing 10, 20, 25%, we were already at 30, 50. We were already talking at larger cuts back then, which is what helped, us be in the position that we are. And part of, Dan, what you were asking, I had asked one of my other questions was, albeit remote in terms of state aid, might some of the deficit be made up with payments, although I understand we're not going to get one of our payments.
No one has absolutely said we're going to or not going to. That's the issue that we deal with, trying to determine what the state's going to do. We can never get a straight answer. Believe me, if I could come back to you and say, you're going to get 95% or you're going to get 101% or whatever that number is, I would love to be able to provide that to the board, because I feel, Phyllis and I talk all the time about the uncomfortable position that it puts us in, presenting finance issues to the finance committee, to the board, when we can't get a straight answer from Springfield. That's a difficult
situation. We understand
But I think Dan makes a good point. It'd be nice to have your best guess.
Well, I'll tell you what I could do, and that would be for presentation to probably the board. I don't think I'll get it done prior to the next finance meeting, but my thoughts were that I would take last year's audited financial statement, start with that as a beginning point mm-hmm. for a solid number in terms of what our fund balances came in, and then just work through this year's revenues and expenditures and put a number out there in terms of what we might expect mm-hmm. and give you a percentage of that. I really don't know how else to do it other than to use the audited financial statements and sort of our expectations in terms of where we might end up at the end of this fiscal year. Mm-hmm. I think that would probably be the best way to present it.
That makes sense. The other thing in terms of, other than Erica's questions, have you gotten any other requests?
No, I have
not. From any board members in terms of if it's possible at the next finance committee meeting, could we address Erica's questions and again we'll
I'm satisfied, Drew. Thank you for that. But that's actually why I came a little bit early, because I saw it on the agenda, so I thought I could get in here for this part of the conversation.
Okay.
And if you feel, Bob, that part of responding to my questions might be good for other board members to hear, just in terms of the overall plan, what we've talked about, then I think that's important to bring up.
Great.
I feel
I guess what I'd like to see is, Dan or I will make a board report at the full board about finance, and I would request that any board member that has specific budget questions to address them to Bob or Ann before the next meeting, and we can report that at finance. But I'd like that process to be formalized, so it gets on the minutes. It's like we're waiting to get a dialogue going if someone has specific questions or issues. Mm-hmm. And if there aren't any questions or issues, I just like that memorialized.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
So, are there any other items you'd like to discuss for this evening, or we'll take a short break and we'll start the board meeting at 7:30?
I have a question.
Okay.
Advisory committee. Any news, any issues?
I haven't sent out the letters yet. I have to call everyone because I don't have emails for everyone. I don't have addresses for any of them. So we haven't done that yet, but we have our letter, and we have it. All we need to do is make contact with all the people.
Okay.
In some cases, we'll have to make contact by saying, your name has been suggested to us, and can I get your email so that we can finish it up. But we should have the letters out, if not by the end of this week, certainly by Monday.
So we can just bump that up till the next finance committee, and we can give a report.
Right, because we talked about, yeah, I didn't plan on giving a report tonight, but okay. I appreciate your question. And you and I talked about a meeting date for
right.
June 21st
okay.
to be the first meeting date.
If you send me an outlook, and I'll put it in my calendar. It's not fine.
Okay.
So if that's it with questions, then we can take a short break and we'll start with the board meeting at 7:30 then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.